Your Bibles, if you would, please, and open up to Proverbs chapter number 1 in the Word of God tonight. Proverbs chapter number 1 in the Word of God this evening. This is a series that we've been in now for the last 4 weeks, looking here at Proverbs, lessons in wisdom from Solomon. And tonight, once again, we find ourselves here in Proverbs chapter number 1. And as we find Proverbs chapter number 1, we're going to be looking at one verse this evening. Would you please stand for the reading of God's Word, Proverbs chapter and number 1. Remember, Proverbs is a section in the Bible that's known as the wisdom literature. The other books that are found in this section or this group of books would also be Job and Psalms, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon. And over the last several weeks, the focus of these books that we've been looking at is Solomon that is writing to instruct. This collection of teachings is written to instruct a young man. Someone who is instructing, someone who has lived, someone who has some experience, and then that wisdom through the power of the Holy Ghost is preserved for us in the Word of God so that you and I also can gain and can learn and can trust. And over the last several weeks, we've really looked at kind of that subject, ready for this, of growing. I mean, you and I never come to a place where we stop growing. We want to grow, we want to learn, we want to gain, we want to change. I know oftentimes we get afraid, hold on. We want to be rejuvenated. We want to visit with God. We want Him to, watch the wording here, revive our hearts continually. And this is what we find in Proverbs, is this wisdom that does and accomplishes just that. So would you look at the instruction that we're given tonight here in Proverbs and chapter number 1. Would you look with me at verse number 7? Verse number 7, the Bible says this: "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. I love the wording here. It says this, something that you and I don't ever want to be called, and that's this: but fools. You ever been called a fool before? Man, it's not something you click your heels and like, oh yeah, that's right, I claim it, I want to be it. No. Nobody wants to be called a fool. But yet the Bible says, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. For the next couple of moments, look at this verse, and then I want you to keep your Bibles open. I'm going to read through them. We won't pause through every one because there's quite a few, but tonight we're going to look at why fear. Why is it that verse number 7 says the fear of the Lord? Let's go to Him in prayer tonight. Father, I ask, Lord, that You would give us what we need. As Pastor Dan said, Lord, and prayed earlier, I too am thankful for what You have been doing in our midst. I feel like Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, God, You're at work and You're leading and You're guiding. Folks joining and visitors coming and people getting saved. Even meetings set up this week to talk about salvation. And Lord, before the service tonight, a deacon's meeting. And God, everything that You're doing, Lord, I stop too and just say, thank You. Praise You. Now, Father, once again, do what only You can do. Instruct, lead, guide. But Father, I ask that You'd convict us. I don't want to be a fool, Father. Lord, what does it mean to fear You? Teach us tonight. We love You, Savior. In Your Son's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. If there was ever in the Word of God a key verse that unlocks the power and the purpose of the Bible, it would be, one of those verses would be this verse that we have just read. If there was ever a verse that you and I could look at and say, okay, this is where it starts, this is where it begins, it would be verse number 7, the verse that we just read. If we are to learn wisdom and knowledge, then it has to begin somewhere. And so in the Word of God, where does that begin? It begins with the fear of the Lord. You see, this is vital to the book of Proverbs. As we've come now and looked at the wisdom of Solomon over the last several weeks and the training of Solomon for the 2 weeks and then the wisdom that Solomon had, being one of the wisest men to ever lived, we gain from that in verses 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. But now we come to kind of the foundation. We come to, well, what you and I must build upon even in our lives today. And throughout the book of Proverbs, this is, well, it's very important. In fact, this is very vital, this line in the book of Proverbs, as it's mentioned, the fear of the Lord, some 18 times. Around 27 times, the phrase can be found throughout the Word of God. So if we find something in the Word of God that's repeated several dozen times, then you and I would take that to mean, okay, we got to tune in. This is something that we need. This is something that we must gain from. If so much emphasis is placed on fearing the Lord, then you and I ought to know that you and I have got to dive into the Word of God and begin to figure out, well, what does it mean? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So what is the fear of the Lord? Well, tonight, first of all, I want us to start here with a definition of the fear of the Lord. Number one, let's look at the definition. What does the phrase the fear of the Lord refer to? Well, if you were to go to the dictionary, which in my Bible program happens to still be set to Webster's Dictionary. So if I look up in Webster's Dictionary, what does fear mean? Here is what is going to be given to me. In our English language, here's what fear means. It can be defined as, and I quote, a feeling of anxiety and agitation produced by the presence or nearness of danger. Check this out. The presence or nearness of danger, evil, pain, and so on. If we think of fear today, what you and I would associate that word with would be, you ready for this wording? Terror. It would be fear. It would be I've told you this before, but for me, there's not a whole lot of things that I fear, but I don't like snakes. If I see a snake, I'm not one to just, oh, hey, let's play with the snake. And if you have snakes, I'm not picking on you, but you are weird because it's accursed. Just go back to Genesis and read. It's wicked, okay? It's not my message tonight. But for my care, it will tell you, I don't like snakes. When I see snakes, I'm a run, okay? For others, there's things in your life. For my wife, it'd be spiders. For you, it's probably the dentist or a doctor's appointment. Or there's things in our life that would bring just that. It would bring about this word terror. But when we look at the fear of the Lord, surely this is not the sensation that the writer of Proverbs is referring to. So if we're looking at the fear of the Lord, then we're supposed to be, as the dictionary defined it, as the nearness of danger, the nearness of evil, the nearness of pain, the fear of the Lord, pain, evil, terror. Is that what the author is referring to? Well, in our modern vernacular, the word fear, in the context in which it is used by Solomon, has been replaced over and over again with reverence or awe or great respect. What the writer of this book is saying is that we are to have a deep reverence and respect for God. Literally, you ready for this? Literally, when we think about God, it brings us in this emotion of, you ready? Awe. It's shocking. When we're in the presence of God, it brings about a deep reverence. It brings about this humble spirit, this spirit of, my goodness, I know who he is, and I know who I am. And it brings about a sense of quietness, stillness. It's honor, it's reverence, it's amazement. The fear of the Lord brings about, when you and I are around him, it brings about this sense of, he is exalted above everything and everyone. He is this. Watch now. He is number one. So if the fear of the Lord is this reverence and awe, then what does that look like in our life? You see, when we truly fear the Lord, we recognize that He is the creator and we are the creatures. When we're in fear of God, we understand that He is the master and that we are the servants. When we fear God, we begin to comprehend that He is the Father and we are the children. This attitude will manifest itself in having respect for God and His Word and having a desire to do what He tells us in the Word of God. You see, watch very carefully. When a young child is born and begins to be trained, they begin to be taught what is good and what is bad and what a bad attitude is and what a good attitude is. And as a parent brings them through that training, when they do something that is wrong, they understand or comprehend that there are consequences to that. If you do something wrong, whether it's being grounded or whether it's being spanked or whether it's being whatever the case might be, there are consequences to that sin. So therefore, when a young child is growing up, they fear those consequences. I'm not going to commit this. I'm not going to steal this. I'm not going to talk back. I'm going to get my chores done. Why? Well, why are you doing it? Because if I don't, I fear what comes. And I don't like those consequences. So there is a fear in a young child. As a child grows into a teenager and even into a young adult, the fear changes in that adult's life, in that teenager's life. The fear of doing wrong oftentimes is no longer, well, I fear the consequences. The reason they don't indulge themselves in sin or the reason that they abstain from something that is wrong is that it's not a fear of consequences as much as it is a fear of the parent, a fear of, watch very carefully, hurting who they love. It's a deep respect. It is understanding what they could do, absolutely. But it's no longer this, oh, I fear that I'm going to reap the consequences. Though I can remember, even in my life, I remember exactly where we were. I remember what I had done in my life. And I remember being a young teenager and sitting down with my dad, my father, who I have a deep respect for. And I remember sitting there, and I wasn't afraid of the consequence. I did something wrong. I was afraid of what was going to come. I was afraid of the grounding. I was afraid of what he was going to say. And here's what he said. I'm disappointed in you. I'm telling you, it ripped my heart out. I loved this man. And yet I had done something that hurt him deeply. You see, the same is true, to put it simply, in our life with our Abba Father. The fear of the Lord is a deep-seated reverence for God that causes you and I to want to please Him at all cost. The Bible says, listen very carefully, we're going to read a lot in Proverbs, but watch the wording here. Proverbs 8:13 says, the fear of the Lord is to, what's the fear of the Lord? You ready? To hate evil. Pride and arrogancy in the evil way, and the forward mouth, watch what the wording here, do I hate. You see, people who do not walk in line with God's word do not fear the Lord, regardless what they may profess with their lips. Therefore, when we fear the Lord, there is an element of dread of what His wrath can do. But there also is a deep respect for Him and His will. And nothing else matters but doing that in which what the Lord is pleased with in our lives. When you and I fear God, there is such a respect for Him. There is such an awe. There is such an understanding, watch now, of who He is, that all of life becomes about pleasing Jesus Christ. It was Oswald Chambers that said it this way. The remarkable thing about fearing God is that when you fear God, you fear nothing else. Whereas if you do not fear God, you fear everything else. You see, in our life, the definition of it is we are now coming to building a foundation of knowledge. We are now going to build a foundation of instruction, of wisdom. whether it be being a mom or dad, a husband, a wife, a good teenager, a child that wants to please his parents, we're going to grow in the knowledge of God. Where does that start? Well, it starts with the defining of the fear of God. And after, watch now, we define the fear of the Lord and we begin to comprehend who he is in our life, then we see the disbursements of the fear of the Lord. Number two, the disbursements of the fear of the Lord. According to Proverbs, when the fear of the Lord is in our lives, it will produce certain benefits for your life and for mine. When we fear the Lord, we're going to find several things in our life to be true. That means this. What I love about the Word of God, well, we've looked at Matthew chapter number 5, and we've looked at the fruits of the Spirit and other things. Watch. What I love about God is that oftentimes in the Word, there is a cause and there is an effect. It happens with wickedness and it happens with righteousness. If I live this type of life, here's the benefits. If I live this type of life, here are the consequences. Oftentimes we find this not only in the Old Testament, but we find it in the New Testament as well. So if we're going to build, watch, on wisdom from Solomon, and we begin to comprehend, okay, everything begins with the fear of God. Okay, so pastor, let's just say this. I fear God. What's in it for me? There's a lot in it for you and I. There's plenty in it for us as whether you are just been saved or have been saved for 50 years. When we fear the Lord, you and I are going to find certain things to be true in our lives. First of all, and these won't be up on the screen tonight, and I got to keep moving this evening because we got a camp meeting. So I want you to tune in, buckle your seatbelt, and write something down, some of these references. But watch. Here's what you and I, here's the disbursements of the fear of God. First of all, it's the beginning of wisdom. Look at verse number 7 and watch what it says. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse number 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse number 33. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. You see, what you and I gain is the beginning of wisdom. True fear of the Lord is born out of a knowledge of how infinitely powerful and majestic and full the goodness of God is. Before one can grow in the Lord, I'm talking about really grow in Him, we must first learn to fear Him. It's Dr. John Phillips said it this way. Unless the Lord is enthroned, now watch this. Unless the Lord is enthroned in the human heart, there can be no real knowledge of His truth. Everything about life, everything about knowledge, everything with wisdom has to begin somewhere. And it begins with you and I fearing God. That means it comes from wisdom, and knowledge is going to come from learning, understanding, and applying who God is in our life. It is learning and applying who Jesus is in our life. You see, I think oftentimes we approach church and we approach passages of Scripture, we'll approach messages, and it's just kind of, we gain it, we got it, we did our devotions, we're good, and we go from one week to the next, we're not growing. Where's the wisdom? Where is it that you and I today, the debates that are constantly out there? Okay, if you're speaking to someone who possibly is even lost, where does knowledge and wisdom start? Where does it come from? It comes from an understanding of who God is and a righteous fearing of Him and an honor, a reverency, an awe, an incredible awesomeness of who God is. You see, it's the beginning of wisdom, but also it motivates people to holiness. The Bible says in Proverbs 3:7, be not wise in thine own eyes. Watch the wording. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse number 6. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. You see, these verses tell us that the fear of the Lord promotes holy living. A person who truly reverences and respects the Lord as he should will not do anything that brings disgrace, dishonor, or pain to the heart of God. Friend, comprehend, people who genuinely fear God will flee from evil. The prospect of causing the Lord pain is too great to bear. Now let's stop right here and let's look at two aspects of this and we're going to move forward. We define fear as knowing God, reverence, awe, shocking who God is. It pushes you and I to live a certain type of lifestyle. The more we reverence God, the further away from evil we want to be. Now let's put it this way. This month is called, in our country, Gay Pride Month. I don't know if you've noticed, even on our, Nicole, on our Google Cal that we share with all of our staff, the very first thing on there, and I think Google just puts it on there, is it's, I think it's called Gay Pride Month, or it's called, is that it? Pride Month, okay. So it's Pride Month, and I have like 10 apps on my phone that are all colorful now, and you watch anything, and it's, that's where it is. Okay, so let's talk about this for just a moment. You have somebody who claims to be saved. A fear of God pushes any saved person away from anything. Watch. Away from anything that is contrary to the Word of God. It pushes. Are you with me tonight? Say amen. I love God, but I want to be drunk. Do you really love Him? Yeah, I love God, but love wins, and we live in a day and age where love is love, and a man can love a man, and a woman can love a woman, and hey, pastor, just wake up and catch up with the times. Okay, look, I love you, and I respect you, and if you're online watching this, and you're gay, or you're a lesbian tonight, or you're in this room this evening, let me just tell you this. Man, I love you, but I hate your sin. And a person who says, I'm saved, and I love Jesus, but you want to live in a lifestyle that is contrary, not to just an old-fashioned pastor, but is contrary to the Word of God, you don't love Him. Because a fear of God says, I don't want to do anything that goes contrary to the Bible in which God gave to you and I. Goes contrary to the teachings of His Word, contrary to the church, which He happened to buy with His own blood, my friend. A person says, well, pastor, I'll just be honest. I love God and I love Jesus. I'm saved. Can't wait to go to heaven. But God understands my heart and I'm gay and I'm lesbian or, I'm trans. I'm this. Time out. Hold on. Don't fall and get all mad at me. There is not a fear for God, because if there's a true fear from God, what it does in our life is pushes us away from wickedness, evil, not standards that you and I make up in our head. What I'm talking about tonight is what thus saith the Lord, and what fear of God does is it pushes us towards righteousness, holiness, purity, love, joy, peace, happiness, harmony, unity. The list goes on and on and on. A fear of God, watch what it does. One of the benefits is we begin to understand who God is through His Word. And I'm just going to put it straight tonight. There are things in this Bible that God said He hates. Well, God doesn't hate. Oh, He hates. Well, I fear God and I love God, but I'm just a very prideful person. It runs in my family. Sorry, you don't fear God. Well, I'm a very prideful person, but, gossip's kind of always been my thing, and I like to, chitty chat and get on and tear people down. And it's just, my mom did it, my grandma did it, and so, it's just kind of in me. God said He hates a forward mouth. Well, I like to stir things up, stir the pot a little bit, and I like to get things going. I like to, time out. You start to study out the Word of God, and there's a lot written about things that He hates. Well, I fear God, but Pastor, love is love and love wins. Church family, I will continue to preach and teach my children that right is right and wrong is wrong. No matter what Discovery Channel says, no matter what, kids, you listen, no matter what Disney Channel says, I don't care. I want to do and I want to know what thus saith the Lord. And if God has created man and woman in Genesis 3 and that has worked and he destroyed nations for being homosexuals and throughout the Word of God, it is listed what he hates and despises. I fear my God enough to say, Lord, I don't even want to dabble in it. I don't want anything to do with it. I don't care whose feelings get hurt. I only care about your feelings and what is right. And I will continue to preach and thunder God's word to every generation that comes up behind us that it's always right to do right. We have to preach. A person nowadays that would come to me, and trust me, I've been there, and Carrie and I have done our fair share of counseling and talking to someone who claims to be gay or lesbian, and I always take them to the Word of God. Do you love God? Oh, yes, I love God. Yes, sir. Boy, I'm telling you, Jesus is just my friend. He's my sustainer, okay? Then let me ask you, if you love him, do you fear him? Oh, preacher, I fear him. Absolutely, Miss Carrie, I fear him. Man, I'm telling you, the consequences of this, but I stand in awe of who he is. Now, let me tell you, if you truly fear God, it will motivate you towards holiness. Watch, by the mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. If you say you really love God, you'll depart from the wickedness in your life. And I'm not just talking about a homosexual, gay, or lesbian lifestyle. I'm talking about the wickedness of this world. I'm talking about pornography. I'm talking about gluttony. I'm talking about pride. I'm talking about bitterness. I'm talking about the things that go against God's word. Friend, the disbursements of fearing God is we want to do less with the world and more of Jesus Christ. Give me more of him. I want satisfaction. Well, you know, I was born this way. This is what we always hear. Well, I was born this way. Yeah, I was born a drunk. I was born a backstabber. I was born bitter. I was born gay. I was born lesbian. Let me tell you something, friend. Sin is sin is sin is sin. You can give in to that appetite, or you can trust God that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And you can, and we've seen it over and over and over again. You start to fear God, man, you reverence him. You don't want to do anything that breaks his heart. Not only does it motivate us, but it also prolongs life. How many like to prolong their life? Maybe I don't even ask that question, okay? Surely, living in here, we want to live. The Bible says this, listen very carefully. Proverbs 10:27. The fear of the Lord... We know the definition. The fear of the Lord prolongeth, it lengthens days. But the years of the wicked shall be shortened. Now, this is not a blanket promise because a number of things can happen along the way. We understand that death can come at any moment. This is not, well, I do right and I fear God. I know somebody feared God and they died at 27 years old and they died at 40, and they died at 6, way before their time. We're talking about that all the time. It's not a blanket promise. However, generally speaking, those who live in fear of the Lord are more likely to live to a good age because they're not living in the flesh or they're not reaping the consequences that sin can give. It is said that approximately, this number might not be right tonight, this was about several years ago, but 60% of human illnesses can be traced directly or indirectly to fear and envy, resentment, guilt, hatred, and a number of, and I quote, emotional stresses. Add to the awful pain caused by alcohol. Is it psoriasis of liver? Is it cirrhosis of liver that comes from drinking and destroys it? You think about tobacco, and I should have written these down. I apologize, but emphysema, is that correct? Emphysema and cancer and the destroying of lungs, heart disease, not to mention immorality, the fear of God, and I could just live any lifestyle I want. I'm going to be very careful when I say this, but as adults, you understand the diseases that comes from living an immoral lifestyle, whether it be maybe an STD or some type of disease. Comprehend, watch now. We can see that a life lived in fear of the Lord with obedience to His word, it can prolong our days. Why? Because we're not involved in the wickedness or the stress, pain, and fear that this world heaps upon us. The disbursements of, watch now, it can produce a sense of security. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse number 26 says this: in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and His children shall have a place of refuge. You see, when we are walking in the fear of the Lord, we can have confidence that God is on our side. I read this 2 weeks ago, but notice Romans chapter 8 and verse number 31. What shall we then we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? The person who is walking in fear of the Lord is living by the word of God, and there are fewer feelings of insecurity, abandonment, or fear in our lives. You and I don't have to, as we talked about today, or 2 weeks ago on Sunday morning, as Peter and Luke chapter number 5. We don't have to live in fear. When we fear God and reverence Him and His word and begin to add knowledge and wisdom, what does this do? It allows you and I to have that security. There's going to be, watch now, far fewer times when our salvation is doubted. The fear of the Lord produces a strong sense of security and close fellowship to the Father. My goodness, what an incredible benefit that you and I have, that we have this sense of security in our life, that you know what? The bad things happen to good people, and it's crazy the world that we live in. But I comprehend this. Listen now. You and I still have a Savior that lives and rules and reigns. If you believe that tonight, would you say amen? This is what a fear of God produces. Not only that, it produces life. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse number 27. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, to depart from the snares of death. When we walk in the fear of the Lord, we are stronger spiritually than we could be otherwise. The fear of the Lord is like a fountain that continually springs up with the spiritual vitality and strength. This enables you and I as a Christian to have a cleaner and closer walk with God, and we're able to maneuver around the temptations that just so easily beset us. I love in Psalms when it talks about planted by the rivers of water. What it does is it gives you and I life. The more that we are in the Word of God, the more that we fear God, the more that we want to abstain from the wickedness of this world and draw closer to the holiness of God. What does it do? It produces life, but not only does it produce it, but it's going to make life better for you and I. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse number 16. Better is little with the fear of the Lord. No. Where are we at? Better is little? Brian, that's not the world we live in. Roberto, we live in a world that's bigger, better, more, faster, more expensive, technology changing each area. We got to have this. We got to have the new. You know, iPhone 432 is out. We got to jump on this. We got to have it right now. But the Bible says, better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. You see, fear of God gives us life, but it also gives us a life that is better. This verse here is instructing you and I. It is teaching you and I that it's better to have limited resources and be in the will of God than it is to have plenty and the trouble that comes along with it. The bottom line for you and I in this verse is this: when you and I are in the Lord's will and when we're walking in His fear, then your care, watch now, becomes His responsibility. Paul said it like this: but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. The life that is filled with things and riches is a trouble-filled life, but a life of faith and fear of God, are you ready for this, is literally care-free. Can you believe that? You know why? Because we become as little children that fear God. My kids, and we're taking our kids on a trip in September. We're saving up for this trip, and man, we're ready, and we're gearing up, and we've told our kids, announced them that we're going in September, and can I put it this way? My kids, all five of them, like they live a very carefree life. If I ask Lois tonight, where is Lois? Did Lois come to church? Oh, where's Lois? Lois. Oh, if I ask Lois tonight, Lois, yo, when's the last time you worried about bills? I'm worried about bills. This whole thing, we haven't got there, and she's never said, boy, Dad, it's $85 to fill up the van. I don't know if we can afford that. Can you do, maybe we should cut back? That's totally carefree. She didn't care about what. She had no idea what our water bill is, electric bill. Just totally carefree. They know the air is on, John. They know the heat is on. They know Carrie put on spaghetti tonight, and they're going to eat, and they're going to get done. They're going to do their chores. Check it out. Totally carefree. You know why? They fear their parents. What? They know who their parents are. They know, Brother Burwell, we're going to take care of them. They know, no matter what, I'm going to give them a life the best that I can, humanly speaking, that is carefree. Do you know, on a spiritual standpoint, that's the life that Jesus wants us to live in Him? Is a life that is not fret, worry, God, I can't believe you let Corona happen. Can't believe you let Russia invade. I can't believe we're talking about monkeypox. I can't believe you let him get elected. I can't believe. God, you're just, God, I'm going to have to take this in my own hands. And God says, do you fear me, child? Yeah. Do you know who I am? Yes. What's my name, child? Abba. Father, then let me take care of it. Let me tell you something, friend. That is the best life that you and I can live. It's not only life, it's a better life. But do you know that in this life, it produces satisfaction and safety? Proverbs chapter 19 and verse number 23. Listen to the words carefully. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. You see, the person who lives in the fear of God will be a satisfied person. He will have one goal in life, and that is pleasing the Lord. It is understanding who He is, and then that it will have been met with God. When we learn to be satisfied with the Lord and with the privilege of walking in His fear, we will be permanently satisfied. Nothing is going to matter but putting a smile and understanding, watch now, I want to please God. I want to live for Him. I want to dwell with Him. I want to live according to His word. Satisfaction comes from, watch now, not pleasing everybody else. Look, hold on. I have not read, Brother Dane, one time tonight, The Fear of Man. How many times have I mentioned tonight in this message? It's the fear of the pastor that's going to give you, bless God, a good life. Time out. We approach that at all. A satisfied life comes from living a life that glorifies one person. And that person is Jesus Christ. When you and I get away from trying to please Him, and if Carrie, if you and I, if our whole life is lived trying to please our kids. Now, I'm not picking on my kids, but let's be super honest. You can't satisfy kids. They always want the next thing. They want this. They're not satisfied with this. I mean, you can't, teenagers, I love you, but you are super hard to satisfy. Nobody has to say amen there, but you just are. Now, before we go too far, there's some old people. They're pretty hard to satisfy, too. Let me just put it that way. My life, care, our life is not lived to satisfy everybody. Oh, Brother Fisher. Oh, Brother Main Crony. Oh, boy, I'm just telling you. Miss Sally, we got to, oh, Brother Drew. Miss, we got to, care, come on, jump aboard. Satisfy, satisfy, satisfy. Hold on, time out. You know what that's going to lead to? Dissatisfaction of life. You and I want to be satisfied? Start living our life for the Lord Jesus Christ. At the end of this verse, here's what it says. At the end of this verse, if you notice this, it says this. And he that hath it shall abide, be satisfied, and he shall not be visited with evil. Notice this verse says that this kind of person will not be visited with evil. That's kind of different. Now watch. The person who walks in a genuine fear of the Lord need never to fear going to hell. He will never fear the many things that trouble the world around him. You see, fear of the lost world is constantly of oh my goodness, this new virus and this new sickness and this new cancer and this new drug and this new, and the lost world is fear, fear, fear. Oh my goodness, fear. A same person says, you know, be careful, abstain, cleanliness. But if I die, I'm going to heaven. But I don't fear. The lost world says, oh, but if I die, I'm going to go. I don't know where I'm going to go. And I think we're just kind of regurgitating. We're back on earth and we live through the life of an eagle or a donkey or some an object. And I don't know what really happens. And so, to be honest with you, I kind of fear what comes after life. The same person says, I don't ever fear going to heaven or it's to hell. I don't ever fear just what's coming. I know that my Redeemer lives and that I'm going to be with him in heaven. See, the wickedness of this world, I think we've allowed it to, Pastor Defoe, we've allowed it to sneak into our churches and our own lives. We get on social media, Brother Miller, and man, we're fearful and we're scared of what's going to happen. And God the whole time saying, hold on. Do you fear me? Oh, yes, Lord. Whoa. I fear you. I want to please you. I want to live for you. You won't find me cussing your name. God, I love you and reverence you so much. I don't want to hurt you, Father. I want to abstain as far as I can from the wickedness or anything that goes contrary to your word, because I have a deep love and respect of who God is. This awe moment. And God says, the child comprehend. The fear that this world has, you don't have to have. Now, Christian, we've been through this over the last several weeks. Are we getting it? The message I preached this morning, and I appreciate all the texts this afternoon. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. I felt the prayers this morning, and God allowed us to touch a very difficult subject. I praise the Lord. I give him all the honor and the glory. But are we going to listen to a message on hell and just, wow, how powerful it is? And, ooh, that'll scare anybody. And, ooh, glad I'm not going there. Are we going to do something about it? Are we going to listen to this and fear of the Lord and the disbursement? Are we going to gain from it? Or are we going to continue? Excuse me. Are we going to continue to live in fear of everything that the world throws our way? Fear. Oh. Can I tell you, I don't know if when God's coming back. I can, no man knoweth the hour, but I think we can see the signs and the seasons. It's very close. But let's just say, God, he's God. He can do whatever he wants. What if he does go another 30 years, 50 years? And Bryce, I don't want to be the type of person that is such a Debbie Downer and fearful that, oh, good luck, you and Abby. Oh, I'm so glad we had our kids care, because I wouldn't want to be in your boat, bring up kids in this kind of environment. Are we going to fear everything that's around us? Or are we going to comprehend that the God of Isaac and Jacob and Abraham is the God of Pastor and Carrie and Jeff and Katie and Noel and Drew and Roberto and Greg? He is the same God, friend. You catching this tonight? Say amen. You getting it? Where does this start? It starts with fear. A fear of God. When we understand the definition, we understand we reap. And I want you to watch this. It's also going to bring about great blessings. Proverbs 22 and verse number 4 says, by humility, hold on, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Riches and honor and life. How does that happen? By humility and the fear of the Lord. A Christian who chooses to walk in the fear of the Lord can rest assured that this decision will bring about great blessings in their life. It's a spiritual blessing that you and I cannot comprehend. It's a blessing of peace and joy, hope, security, the promises of God, the very presence of Jesus and the Holy Spirit living inside of us. There will be honor from the Lord, and there will be an abundant life. You see, the fear of the Lord produces a great possibility in life that you and I can live better on this earth. You and I can live a life that's full of happiness. It can be full of joy. Yeah, but Pastor, you don't understand the problems I've been through. Friend, I know. Man, I know. We've all been through some difficult circumstances. Death, disease, cancer, losing somebody we loved, cancer, corona. Look, the list goes on and on and on and on. So do we sit and just live the rest of our days, 10, 12, 15 years, just in a state of solemn sadness? Or do we fear God enough to know that He is our source of joy and happiness and peace and security? That source doesn't come from anybody else but God. Because when God gives it to us, it's sustained. It lasts forever. It never ceases. My joy, I get great joy, care, in our relationship. And I love my wife so very much. I can't imagine doing life without her. But friend, I may not always have my wife. And if at that moment God allowed me to go to heaven or Carrie to go to heaven, God forbid. But my life or Carrie, your life has to go on. And your joy cannot only be sustained in me. Is find joy in me? Sure. Do I find joy in you? Yes. But there's only one sustaining joy. That's Jesus. If my peace, Brother Eric, is only in the doctor that I love, and I look to Kendra, and every time I say something that's medical, I just look at Kendra. Kendra, is that right? Am I saying that right? You're just like, no, Pastor, just stop trying. Okay, but now listen, if it's only in a doctor and this and the medicine they have, and can I just tell you? I don't know what you take. Like, a doctor's not going to keep us alive forever. My security's not found in a doctor. There's only one great physician that our source of security can be found in, and that's Jesus. Well, bless God, our hope and our peace. I'm saying this both. This is not Republican, Democrat. We're gonna have peace in Donald Trump. We're going to have peace in President Biden. That's our peace. They're super disappointing. Our peace is not found in them. In fact, there's not going to be real peace on this earth until the Prince of Peace comes again. That's our peace. The definition, the disbursement, and Pastor Dan, I'm going to be done for time's sake. I know, but listen, I want you to listen to this. There's also a decision that is related to the fear of the Lord. No one can make you. No one can do it for you. The decision to live a life is ordered around a holy, reverential respect for God. Is a decision that you and I must make ourselves. Nora, are you Nora? Come here, Nora, real quick. I get Nora and Rose mixed up. Come here, Nora, real quick. Hurry, hurry, baby, hurry. I got to finish. Maddie, help her out. Good grief. So Nora, my goal in this little girl's life, who's going to be 7 years old, is that next week? Okay, remind me of that. A little Chuck E. Cheese on. Now listen, my goal in this little girl's life is to teach her through my life to fear God. But I cannot make Nora fear him. Nora is saved. Nora's been baptized. Nora's going to have to come to that decision that she has a love, respect, and reverence towards God. And just as it is important, Nora, for me as your father to live that out, and for you to eventually one day make that, look at me, to make that decision, I also have to make that decision. I wish I could make it for you, and I wish you could make it for me. But the decision to fear God and to reap these benefits comes from you and I talking to God, understanding who He is, and building a foundation of wisdom and knowledge. You going to make that decision? Because He wants and desires, I'm going to put it this way, and demands fear of our Abba Father.